Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to the Zena and Ubers podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 22. Hi everyone and welcome back to Zena and Ubers. I have great news for everyone. I do have the authority now from Melissa Good. I finally got in touch with her to go ahead and read some of her stories online. Now, there are some stories that I am not allowed to read, being that she has had someone else show, or actually a reading of it, and they're being sold on disc. So, unfortunately, there are certain stories that I will not be able to read. But the good part is that, yes, we will have some really good stories out there to read from her. I also have a movie suggestion this weekend. We have Imagine Me and You. That was a good movie, and it's out there for people to go and rent, so recommend go ahead and go seeing that. In regards to the storytelling, like I said, I do have the Melissa Good authorities now, so that'll hold us for quite a while. So that should keep us going for another 100 or so episodes. So that's a good thing. In regards to me, myself, and I, well, I finally finished the kitchen dining room. That's all done. And I can honestly say that there are parts of my anatomy that are screaming at me and telling me, hey, we're hurting. Which, to be quite honest, these parts I never knew existed. So that's quite an interesting thing. And I can honestly say that because I used to run half marathons and things like that. And I was used to having my body physically abused to a certain extent by myself. And it was a new thing about getting into pain and saying, ooh, that feels good. Not, but anyways, no more on that. So I'll hopefully be able to enjoy my pint of ice cream because my lovely partner has turned around and said, honey, you outdid yourself. You can take the week off. Aw, wasn't that nice of her? She's probably going to kill me for that, but you know, it was well worth it. I'll die young but happy. Too late, too old. Well, we're going to continue on with the storyline. I have quite a few emails going out there. I want to do one thing, though, really quick. I want to give a shout-out to my friend Kimmy out there. Well, I call her my friend because she's endeared herself to me, and she's going through a rough time right now, and I want everybody to give her positive thoughts out there. She's going through some hardship in her life right now. But you know what, Kimmy? Keep your chin up. Everything will turn out fine, and you just take care of yourself, enjoy life, and everything else will fall in line for you. Okay? So, we're going to recap last episode and then move right along. So, here we go. For all disclaimers, please see Debbie Bathurst's website at www.clububer2000.com. After having been apart for some time, Rain and Lark were finally going to be together, albeit at Rain's grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Finally getting to meet Rain's grandmother, Lark was eager for Thanksgiving to come so she could meet her and spend time with Rain. After the meeting and dinner, they went back to Lark's place, where they spent the night making wild, passionate love. After almost surprising Hazel, Lark's housekeeper, by her nakedness, Rain enjoyed having breakfast in bed with Lark. Coming towards their first year anniversary, Lark had a moment of insecurity that wholly rested upon her agent Elaine's shoulder to make her realize her misguided insecurity was nothing to worry about, and that even though Lark gave her a crappy anniversary gift of a drawer, Rain loved her completely, and their house hunting would go all right. So that's where we left off, and we continue on with Provenance by Debbie Bathurst, also known as Cruise to everybody else. Forrest, this better not be another wild goose chase with this asshole. We've come too close to finding out who is behind all of these threats against Congress Morgan for it to be a dead end. Rain told him, agitated by all the dead ends they encountered, as her, Forrest, and two other agents slowly approached the large home through the cover of trees. Our sources tell us this is where the mastermind lives, Forrest reminded her as the team stopped.
Okay, you two head around the back, and we'll take the front. Let us know when you're in place,
Forrest ordered as the other agents nodded in acknowledgement and headed off. I'm ready to take this asshole down, that's for sure. We are never going to get another assignment if we don't hurry up and close this case. Rain answered as the pair ducked behind the shrubbery, waiting until the other agents were in place.
So, what do you have planned for your first anniversary?
Forrest asked with a silly grin, turning to look at his partner, who intently stared at the house as they waited.
That would be none of your business. Besides, we're leaving for Cape Cod with Congressman later tonight, and our anniversary is in 2 days, don't you remember? Rain asked, never breaking her gaze from the front.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I have lost track of all time. Man, that sucks.
He added and pushed the earpiece when he heard transmission.
10-4. We're moving in now.
He acknowledged into his mic and nodded at Rain for them to get moving. The pair stayed behind the cover of the shrubs and made the way towards the house. They crept onto the porch and both jumped against the wall when they saw a man pass by the window near the door.
Shit!
We've been had, Rain replied when she saw a man hurry out of the house and jump into a car.
Stop him!
She shouted as they ran off the porch and aimed their guns at the car, which screeched its tires to leave.
Elaine, my poor baby is probably ready to fall asleep listening to another one of my father's speeches,
Lark told her with a pouting look on her face.
I really don't know how she stays awake off all of those functions. It must be someone is screaming in her earpiece to keep her awake,
Elaine surmised, and both laughed at the comment.
More than likely, they're just hanging out with your dad at his office doing nothing. I mean, what else would they be doing?
I don't know, because she can't talk about a lot of the stuff she does at work, as so much of it is top secret. But it must be the most boring job in the world, standing around watching my dad all day.
Lark answered and looked in the mirror as the makeup artist put the finishing touches on her face. Rain and Forrest fired the guns at the car, and Rain shoved Forrest to the ground when a shot whizzed by them from the house.
What the hell?
She cursed and turned towards the house, seeing a man by the window pane of the door with a gun.
Try to find out where that car is heading!
Rain shouted and took off running towards the house as Forrest scrambled to his feet. Rain saw the man in the window move towards the door. She ran faster and jumped, kicking the door in and knocking the man down behind it. She tumbled once inside and stood above the man who was just knocked out, just as the other two agents entered.
Nice move, Rain,
they approvingly told her with a chuckle.
Thanks. Cuff him and check the rest of the house. I need to help Forrest,
she told him out of breath and ran out of the house. She glanced up to see Forrest chasing the erratically weaving car on foot and shooting at the same time. She caught a glimpse of a motorcycle sitting inside the garage and ran towards it.
Come on! Hopefully the keys are here and I don't have to hotwire it,
she said, climbing onto the bike and found them in the ignition.
Yes! Thank you!
She chuckled and fired the engine on the motorcycle. She kicked it in gear and screeched the tires when she took off. She quickly passed Forrest, who was out of breath, and pointing in the direction of where the car went. She made the turn and sped up to catch the car that was off in the distance. She leaned down towards the handlebars to reduce the wind resistance and turned the throttle wide open. She locked up the brakes and squealed the tires when the car made a sudden turn. She gunned the throttle again and quickly approached the car.
Shit!
She shouted when she heard a bullet fly past her after she swerved to miss it. She maneuvered the motorcycle to make it difficult for the assailant to fire on her and sped up, closing in on the car. She pulled her gun out and began firing at the car. The car made a quick turn, and she locked up the brakes, but couldn't stop in time to make the turn.
Oh! This is gonna hurt!
She shouted and laid the motorcycle down on its side, pushing it away from her and tumbling off the side just before the car ran over the motorcycle.
Ah!
She shouted in pain when she came to rest along the road in a patch of gravel.
Oh, man, that does hurt,
she said and laid there for a moment.
I can't believe that asshole got away!
She shouted frustrated and lay panting, trying to catch her breath. She reached into her pocket for the cell phone that was ringing.
Forrest!
She asked in the phone without looking at her caller ID.
No, it's me. Hi, honey. What are you doing? I miss you.
Lark sweetly told her into the phone.
Lark, hi, babe.
She stammered surprise and quickly sat up, moaning in the process. She reached over and picked up her gun that lay next to her, placing it in the holster.
"Are you okay? What's going on?"
Lark worriedly asked by Rain's strange demeanor in her voice.
"Oh, I'm fine. Listen, right in the middle of something here. Could I call you back in a little while?"
She calmly asked, hoping Lark wouldn't catch on to what was happening to her and be worried.
"Sure. Call me back soon. I love you."
She giggled and smiled, waiting for Rain's answer.
"I love you too, babe. Bye."
Rain answered and clicked the phone off, shaking her head and chuckling at the timing Lark had with her phone calls. She rose to her feet and limped towards the car that hit the motorcycle.
"Are you okay?"
she asked when she approached.
"I'm fine, but what the hell were you doing?"
the man angrily asked. "I'm a Secret Service agent, and I was chasing someone. I apologize. Our office will take care of any damages to your car," she informed him and flashed her badge his way.
"Oh, okay, yeah."
He stammered, not expecting to run into a Secret Service agent, and turned towards the two cars that screeched to a halt next to them.
"Rain, are you okay?"
Forrest shouted after exiting the car, rushing over to her.
"Oh, never better,"
she sarcastically answered, bent over with her arms extended on her legs, trying to catch her breath and calm her racing heart.
"The bastard got away,"
she angrily told him, and stood, limping towards the car.
"Hey, Frank, get this man's information so we can take care of the damage to his car,"
she called out and climbed in when she saw Frank approach the man.
"How the hell did you find me?"
she asked, curious as to how they arrived so quickly.
"I took a wild guess, but mainly the noise of the car screeching gave it away. Here,"
Forrest explained and offered her a handkerchief.
"Your head is bleeding,"
he told her and motioned towards it. She took the cloth and put it to her head, pressing down to stop the bleeding. He shut the door behind her and climbed into the driver's seat.
"We better get you to the hospital to be checked out. How did you hit your head?"
he suggested and looked at his partner, who looked like hell. "Probably on the handlebars or that freaking rock I ran into when I fell, or maybe my gun. Who knows? But I'll be fine," she sarcastically reassured and leaned her head back against the seat, casual about her injuries.
"It's a good thing you didn't shoot or kill yourself in that accident,"
he commented, worried about his partner. "Hey, you know we aren't supposed to lose our guns. I had to keep a hold of it. Besides, I'm fine, dude," Rain sarcastically added, downplaying the accident.
"Not the way you look, you're not,"
he added with a chuckle and started the car up.
"You're going to get checked out, and that's final."
"Come on, man. I'm more pissed off about that fucker who got away. I can't believe it."
She fumed and shifted in her seat.
"Well, we got the other guy, so let's go and see what we can get out of him. Hey, what the heck did you do to that door? I think Tim and Frank are going to be telling tall tales at the office for quite some time from the way they were gloating about how you got the other guy before we left the house,"
he asked and told her with a chuckle.
I just ran towards the door, jumped and kicked it. I got lucky because I wasn't sure it would work. Could have easily been laying flat on my back if the door wouldn't have opened,"
Rain answered with a chuckle.
"You nailed that guy big time, and you're still going to the hospital. I know you're trying to butter me up so I won't take you,"
he added with a laugh. "You can be such a nag sometimes. Now I have to call Lark back, and I don't want you letting on that I was injured," Rain warned with a stern look.
"Then don't give me any shit about taking to the hospital, or I will,"
he added with a sly grin.
"Deal,"
she conceded and moved the phone to her ear, dialing the number.
"Hi, honey,"
she cheerfully greeted in the phone.
"What are you doing, Rain? Are you stuck in a boring meeting?"
Lark asked, smiling giddily from hearing Rain's voice on the phone.
"Oh, yeah, in a boring meeting. Listen, I'll give you a call later tonight when I get home, okay?"
she asked, trying not to alert Lark to any problem.
"Okay, I'll talk to you later then,"
she answered disappointed.
"I'm sorry, sweets. I'll be able to talk more later, though,"
she told her and grimaced when she straightened out her knee.
"I look forward to talking to you. I love you,"
Lark sweetly professed and smiled. "Same here, honey. Bye." She smiled and ended the conversation, then placed the phone back in her pocket.
"Why didn't you tell her you were hurt?"
Forrest asked, turning to look at her.
Because I'm not hurt that bad, and I didn't want to worry her. She'd have been nervous and stressed out, practically killing herself to get here to see me for nothing.
Rain explained, looking at him, then leaned her head back against the seat.
She should know, Rain.
I know, but I didn't want her to worry. I would hate for anything to happen to her if she were to rush here to be with me. I've got some abrasions. I'll be fine. She reasoned and looked at him.
Let's have the doctor determine that, okay? But you'll need to tell her later.
He added with a sly grin.
Okay,
nag.
She conceded and laughed, as did Forrest.
Besides, you'll get some major sympathy points.
Forrest added with a grin and chuckled, as did Rain, thinking about how many soothing kisses of Lark's she would receive for all the bumps and bruises she had from the accident.
Elaine, I really need to speak to my father about his boring speeches and torturing my honey so much. She didn't sound so well when I spoke to her. Both times.
Lark told her worriedly and moved off the chair.
Lark, I don't think your father can help the fact that he gives boring speeches. But if you think it will help, talk to him.
She chuckled and followed Lark towards the set.
Listen, I'm sorry for the way I acted earlier. I really am not that shallow. I was just feeling insecure. I know Rain loves me very much, and she's told me many times that she wants us to be together forever. I hate those raging hormones every month. They wreak so much havoc on my emotions.
Lark sighed, feeling stupid and guilty for the way she acted earlier.
Yeah, well, you aren't the only woman who suffers from them, hon. Try to find a solution to your anniversary problem. Maybe there's a way for the two of you to spend time together.
Elaine smiled warmly and stopped, facing Lark.
I will. Thanks.
Lark smiled appreciatively.
Now go get to work and make us both stars.
Elaine teasingly pushed her towards the set as Lark looked back and laughed before heading off to work.
Lark entered the darkened house and turned on the light, closing and locking the door behind her.
She sighed disappointed when it hurt her that Rain wouldn't be there with her. She dropped a purse on the couch and rushed towards the phone when she heard it ring.
Rain?
She asked, bringing the phone to her ear.
How did you know?
Rain asked with a chuckle.
I have ESP. Didn't you know that?
Lark teasingly giggled and flopped down on the couch, happy to hear from a tall lover.
Rain, I have something to tell you. I feel so bad.
Lark whined, feeling awful for the way she was earlier with Elaine.
Oh, well, I have something to tell you, too. You go first.
Rain suggested and worried about what Lark had to tell her from the way she sounded.
Well, I've been really upset that we weren't going to be together for our anniversary, and I was feeling wicked insecure about our relationship. Rain, I'm so sorry I gave you that drawer for an anniversary present. I should have given you something nicer. Are you sure you want to move in with me?
She uncertainly rambled on.
Whoa!
Lark, what's up with all of this?
Rain asked, flabbergasted by what she just heard.
Rain, I told you I was feeling really insecure about us today, and I was talking to Elaine about it. She talked me through it, and I realized how much of a spoiled bitch I was being, and...
Lark attempted to explain, and was cut off by Rain.
Hold it right there. You aren't a spoiled bitch. You're a spoiled princess, and one that I love with all my heart.
Rain corrected the chuck and continued.
Yes, I want to move in with you, and I love the drawer you gave me on our anniversary. I thought it was a very original gift, and I appreciated the meaning of it, then and now.
Rain calmly reassured.
Are you sure? I was thinking that maybe you just told me that not to hurt my feelings about the drawer.
Lark asked, needing reassurance from her.
Lark, I didn't just tell you that not to hurt your feelings. I completely understood the meaning of it and appreciated the fact that you were subtly sending me messages that it was time for us to move in together. In fact, I was going to ask you to move in with me, but then worried that I might be moving too quickly for you. So I backed off, and when I got your clever message with the gift, I figured it was fine for us to take that next step. Unfortunately, we were both so busy with work that we haven't been together enough until recently to start looking for a home. I'm telling you with all my heart that I want us to live together.
Rain wholeheartedly told her.
Lark wiped the tears that trickled down her cheeks and smiled, feeling her heart flutter from what Rain just told her.
I'm sorry for being such an emotional wreck, Rain. I am so upset that we won't be able to spend our first anniversary together. I can barely stand it, she tearfully admitted.
I know. Me too, sweets. I wish we could go there. But hey, I'll be back on the weekend, and we can celebrate it then. How does that sound? Rain asked, hoping it would calm her down.
Lark, please don't cry. You're breaking my heart, baby.
She softly pleaded, hearing Lark sob in the background.
I'm sorry, Rain. I just can't help it. You're right. We'll be together over the weekend, and we can celebrate it then.
She reasoned and wiped the tears away. She inhaled deeply and said,
So what do you have to tell me?
Trying to change the subject. Oh, it's not important. What's important is that you're okay. Are you feeling better? She wearily asked and leaned forward in the chair, resting her elbows on her legs.
I'm fine, I promise. Now, it is important, so tell me.
Lark reassured her and coaxed for an answer. Well, I was in a minor accident today. Rain attempted to tell her as gentle as possible and looked up at Forrest, who stepped into the doorway. He heard her tell of the accident and mouthed,
Minor accident?
Then shook his head in disbelief at her cavalier attitude. She waved her hand at him to go away, and he motioned with hand gestures that the dinner was there. She shook her head in acknowledgement and held up one finger, indicating she would be right there. She grimaced when she heard Lark shriek in a panic.
You were in an accident. Are you okay? Why didn't you call me? What happened?
Lark! Lark! Rain attempted to calm her down and clenched her eyes closed, wondering why in the hell she bothered to tell her, knowing that she was going to react this way.
Rain, I can't believe it. Are you in the hospital? Where are you? I'm on the next plane there. I don't give a shit about what happens with the movie.
Lark worriedly and angrily told her, springing to her feet and pacing back and forth nervously.
Lark, just calm down. I'm fine.
I have a cut on my forehead and some bruises and road rash from having to lay the motorcycle down.
Trust me, I'm fine, baby,
Rain soothingly explained, trying to keep Lark calm.
Why didn't you tell me?
Lark asked, feeling left out, and held her chest, hoping to calm her racing heart. She had a flash of how ghastly it would feel if something terrible happened to Rain, and she wasn't in her life.
I didn't want to worry you, babe. I knew I was fine, honey. I'm sorry I didn't call you. I promise I will next time.
Rain sweetly apologized and promised.
You better, and you better not be lying to me. I'm going to call Daddy later to make sure your injuries are minor, or you are in big trouble.
Lark angrily warned, her heart still racing from the fear she felt. Rain chuckled and leaned back in a chair.
I promise, and your father will vouch for my minor injuries, reassuring her. What were you doing on a motorcycle anyway?
Lark asked, confused. Well, we were on an assignment, and one of the suspects was getting away, so I had to chase them. Rain explained in a generic way to keep Lark calm. If she knew she had been stuck in something more that resembled an elaborate police chase from an action movie, she would flip out even more.
But a motorcycle? Rain, you promised with the motorcycles that you would be more careful and wouldn't ride them like a wild woman. I couldn't handle if something happened to you, Rain.
Lark whined, fearful of Rain's safety on motorcycles. I know, honey, but it was the only thing available to me at the time. I know I made a promise to you about motorcycles. That's why I bought my car and parked my motorcycle. I don't want anything to happen either. I couldn't imagine not seeing your sweet face, she thoughtfully told her.
Oh, you're so adorable and frustrating,
Lark told her with a giggle.
I can't imagine my life without you in it, honey.
Lark sincerely admitted and felt a catch in her heart from her statement. The same goes for me, sweets. Now trust me when I tell you that I'm physically fine. I love you with all my heart, and there's nothing more in the world I would like to do than to live with you in our new home. Shane is still checking the paperwork, property taxes, etc. for the house we want on the beach, okay? She asked, hoping to reassure and calm Lark's fears.
I can't wait for us to buy the house and move in together.
I want to be able to wake up next to you and know that you will have more than one drawer for your clothes in our home.
Lark told her with a laugh shared by Rain. Me too, babe. I look forward to us moving in together. Are you feeling better now? Rain asked, hoping she was.
Yes, I feel better the second I heard your voice,
Lark admitted with a giggle. Same here when I heard yours, Rain added with a chuckle. I will give you a call later, okay? I'm gonna go grab something to eat, and we have to make our security rounds. But we'll talk more later, I promise. Rain guaranteed.
I look forward to hearing from you, baby. Have a good dinner, and I love you very much,
Lark wholeheartedly professed. I love you too, sweets. Rain smiled happily after Lark told her how much she loved her, and felt a ticker in her stomach. Bye.
Bye, honey,
Lark answered and blew a kiss into the phone. Rain chuckled and blushed from the way Lark had a way of making her feel. She clicked the phone off. She held the phone against her mouth, thinking of how Lark had made such a significant impact on her life, and how happy she was to be part of Lark's life. She inhaled deeply to calm her racing heart and stood up, walking towards the door to join her fellow agents for dinner, feeling complete with the love of a beautiful woman in her heart. Rain had been trying to catch Lark by phone any chance she had throughout the day and into the early evening, but was unable to reach her. Where is she? I want to tell her our happy anniversary. She wondered, frustrated by her inability to contact her, and clicked the phone off. Maybe she's had additional hours on the set today that she forgot to tell me about. Can't believe she didn't try to call me. What if something happened to her? She nervously worried as thoughts ran rampant through her mind. Nah. Elaine would have called me if something happened to her. She's fine, just busy. She'll call. Well, calm down. She jumped, startled, when the phone in her hand rang. She quickly put it to her ear. Lark? She asked into the phone.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Lark's sweet voice greeted into the phone, much to Rain's relief. I've been so worried about you, Lark. Phew, I'm glad to hear your voice. I've been trying to get in touch with you all day. I was getting very worried that something bad happened to you. Rain answered in a relieved sigh and felt her racing heart calm to a steady beat.
I'm sorry, honey. I had a wicked long day on the set. I miss you and I wish I could be in your arms right now,
Lark confessed lovingly. Me too, Rain softly said and leaned her hand against the wall for support as she stared out the window into the darkness. I want to hold you, to smell your alluring scent, to kiss you and make love to you. Tell you how much I love you. I want to give you your anniversary gifts and make love to you all night and into the weekend, Rain informed her, reflectively looking off into the distance, where wishing she were with Lark. She looked down and pulled out the present she had for Lark that was in her pocket. She smiled and couldn't wait to give her the present as she lightly moved the thumb across the gift, then placed it back in her pocket.
Oh, baby, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I would love for you to do all of those things to me, and more.
She flirtatiously answered, and felt a warm rush straight to her core.
Rain!
Forrest called down in a soft voice, not to scare her. She turned towards him, unhappy with the intrusion, and covered the phone.
What?
She agitatedly asked.
Congressman Morgan needs to speak with you,
he informed her.
Can't he wait?
She asked, aggravated by the fact that she was finally able to speak with Lark and had to get off the phone.
No, he was pretty adamant about seeing you right away,
he told her and exited the room. Damn, she thought angrily and turned, looking back out the window. Hey, honey, I have to go, but I'll call you back very soon, okay? Rain asked, reluctant to lose her connection to Lark.
I understand, sexy. I'll be here waiting for you,
Lark reassured her. Happy anniversary, babe. I love you, Rain softly said and smiled, thinking of how much she loved Lark.
I love you too, honey. Bye.
Lark giggled and clicked the phone off. Rain chuckled and ended the call as she exited the room to find out what the congressman wanted of her.
Sir, you wanted to see me?
She asked, entering the study where he was reading.
Yes, I need you to do me a favor.
He answered, placing the book in his lap and turned towards her. Okay, sure. She answered and shrugged her shoulders, ready for instructions.
A guest of mine has arrived, and they are at the guest cottage. I would really appreciate it if you checked out the cottage for me and made sure they were settled in.
He asked with a hopeful smile. No problem. I'll head down there right now. Rain told him and turned to leave.
Thanks a million,
he called out when she exited the room. What the hell does he think we are? Does he think we are servants or something? Couldn't he get someone else to go down there? She thought, agitated by the request, and donned her jacket before exiting the house. Rain gasped for her breath after opening the door when she felt a crisp chill in the air strike her face. She wrapped her jacket tighter around her body and folded her arms across her chest for just some warmth as she made the long trek to the guest cottage. Shit, it's cold out here, she thought, and saw her breath in the cold night air. She did as she was instructed and checked out the perimeter of the cottage, and then moved around to the front. She knocked on the door and waited for someone to answer. She stood stunned and speechless when she saw who opened the door. Now I know why he sent me, she thought with an appreciative chuckle, checking the figure out before her.
Happy anniversary, my love. Care to join me in this toasty cottage?
Lark flirtatiously asked with a smile. Absolutely. Rain was finally able to muster from her surprise as she stood staring at Lark, who had a small blanket provocatively draped across her naked body. Lark reached out and took her hand, pulling her into the cottage, and quickly engulfed her in a tight embrace as Rain kicked the door closed.
I'm so happy to see you, baby,
she whispered in her ear and lightly kissed her cheek, reveling in the wondrous feelings of having Rain's strong arms wrapped around her.
I can't believe you're actually here, Lark. I missed you so much, sweets.
Rain softly told her and leaned back, gazing lovingly into Lark's warm greens. She smiled happily and leaned in, brushing her lips against Lark's. She felt Lark's lips quiver and pressed her lips against Lark's for a passionate kiss. Lark melted into the searing kiss and tightly wrapped her arms around Rain's neck, who lifted her off the ground, deepening the kiss. They broke the kiss breathless and leaned their heads against each other, reveling the feeling of their long-awaited reunion.
I couldn't be away from you for another minute, Rain, and I was so happy that we finished filming early so I could come here,
Lark told her, smiling happily. Rain leaned back and smiled. So your father was in on the ruse, huh? She asked with a sly grin.
Yeah, I told him we needed to spend our first anniversary together, and he agreed. It helps to know people in high places, she explained with a smile.
I'm glad he agreed, and it's no wonder I couldn't get in touch with you all day, she answered in a low tone and kissed Lark again.
Me too,
Lark whispered through the kiss and deepened it. Lark broke the kiss and giggled giddily as she was ecstatic to see Rain.
I have some very special presents for you, my love.
Oh, yeah?
Rain flirtatiously asked, intrigued by what Lark was going to give her.
Yes. Follow me.
She provocatively invited and led Rain towards the bedroom.
Wow. This is great, Lark.
Rain commented when they entered the bedroom, which was filled with candles, roses, along with champagne and food on the table.
I'm glad to hear you like it, babe, but this is just the beginning,
Lark told her with a suggestive wiggle of her eyebrows.
Sit down,
Lark said and guided her down on the bed. She winked at Rain and poured a glass of champagne for her.
This is wonderful, Lark. And you look... wow, so freaking incredible.
Rain told her in awe of everything, especially Lark, who stood before her with her drink. She took the glass from her and sipped the champagne, then looked up at Lark.
I want to give something to you that I've wanted to and should have done a long time ago. I don't want to wait any longer.
She explained to Lark and took her hand, guiding her to sit on the bed.
Okay,
Lark softly answered and sat on the bed, anxiously waiting to see what Rain was going to give her. Her heart raced faster when she saw Rain pull a small box out of her pocket.
Lark, I love you with all of my heart, and want you to wear this as a reminder of my love for you, and of my promise to always love you.
Rain softly told her, and took the ring out of the box to place on Lark's finger.
Oh, Rain, it's so beautiful,
Lark tearfully exclaimed, and lovingly watched as Rain placed on her finger. She was giddy and overwhelmed by the beautiful 1-carat diamond set on 24-carat gold band, which sparkled in the light. She gasped when Rain gave her a sideways glance with her devastatingly gorgeous blues. "I don't want you to ever doubt my love for you. You're the only person I want to spend my life with," Rain told her with a loving smile, and chuckled when Lark kissed her. Lark broke the kiss and engulfed Rain in a tight embrace.
"You're so wonderful to me. I'm very lucky to have you in my life,"
she softly whispered and leaned back, lovingly staring at Rain.
"I want to love and be with you for as long as I live. I want to make you feel loved and happy every day of your life with me,"
Lark tearfully professed. "I can't imagine how you wouldn't. You've already made my life completely happy since you entered it, sweets," Rain admitted and smiled, then raised Lark's hand and placed a kiss on the ring she gave it. Lark smiled and felt her heart flutter as she watched Rain kiss her hand, then peer up at her with those fabulous eyes.
"You are so romantic,"
she replied softly and smiled lovingly.
"So are you. And are you going to tempt me and tease me all night by wearing that blanket? Or are you going to lose it and allow me to make mad passionate love to you?"
Rain suggestively asked, with a flirtatious smile.
"I'll get to that in just a moment. But first I want to give you the present I have for you."
Lark grinned and took a step towards the table and grabbed the gift. She stood before Rain and handed her the bag.
"I wanted to give you something very intimate,"
she explained and watched as Rain opened the bag, then smiled when she saw Rain blush after seeing the present.
"This is very intimate, Lark,"
Rain answered with a chuckle and looked at the sex toy Lark gave her.
"Well, that's not the intimate part of it, Rain. I tried to think of an intimate, special, and memorable present to give you. I wasn't able to find a present that expressed all of those until I realized that there was only one thing that could, and that was me giving you my virginity. I know it's so cliché to say that I've been saving myself in that way for the right person to come along, but it's the truth. I've been with other women who have wanted to do that, but it didn't feel right to me, and I never allowed that to happen until now. I want to give you the most intimate thing about me, baby. My virginity."
Lark wholeheartedly explained, and lovingly stroked her thumb against Rain's cheek.
"Lark, that is the most romantic and loving gesture I've ever had. It means a lot to me that you want me to have that of you, and you have made me so incredibly happy by the offer, which I will accept on one condition,"
Rain informed her, and lovingly stared at her.
"Okay, what is that?"
Lark asked, waiting for Rain's answer.
"That you take my virginity as well. Like you, I have never wanted to give that of myself to anyone until I fell in love with you," Rain genuinely admitted and smiled.
"Oh, baby, that is so sweet and loving. You've taken my breath away."
Lark smiled and patted her chest to calm her racing heart, and inhaled deeply.
"I can't wait to give myself to you, Rain. Please, don't make me wait any longer,"
she softly requested, and fervently kissed Rain.
"I won't,"
Rain whispered through her kiss, deepening it and laying Lark on the bed. She broke the kiss, locking loving blues with warm greens, and guided her up on the bed. Rain leaned over her and passionately kissed her as her hand moved down to Lark's chest. She reached inside the blanket and moved it off of Lark, pressing her hand against Lark's hardened nipple. Lark gasped at the contact and waited wantonly for Rain to make love to her.
"I'll be right back. Just close your eyes and think of how much I love you until I'm ready,"
Rain whispered and kissed Lark before climbing off the bed.
"I can't believe she gave me a promise ring, and how stupid I was to doubt her for not giving me one before. Elaine was right about the ring. She is so incredibly romantic and is so good to me. I can't wait to make love with her and allow her to have all of me as no one has ever had me before,"
she thought and opened her eyes when she felt Rain climb onto the bed again. She smiled and lovingly kissed Rain, who moved on top of her.
She felt a tingling sensation rush straight to her core when she felt Rain's naked body and the sex toy pressed against her body. "I love you," Rain sincerely proclaimed through a whisper in her ear, and smiled when she felt Lark kiss her cheek.
"Rain, you are such an incredible lover. I'm so happy that I saved myself for you. It felt so good making love to you like that. It was wonderful and so beautiful."
Lark smiled uncontrollably with a glow from what they experienced as she lay on Rain's chest looking up at her. "I know it was breathtaking. I never wanted to give myself like that to anyone before, and actually never thought I would want someone to take my virginity until I met you. I loved you from the moment I first saw you, and knew you were the woman I wanted to be with no matter how much I fought going out with you. I knew I wanted to give you all of me, in every way. My feelings for you were so strong and terrifying that I tried to stay away, but couldn't resist your fatal charms." She explained with a loving smile, and lightly stroked Lark's golden locks.
"Why did you fight it that much if you knew you loved me from the start?"
Lark asked with a smile from the admission.
"I was terrified by the way I felt for you that you might not feel the same about me after we went out, and if something did work out for us, I was afraid of losing you. They are strong reasons, but I had suffered so much pain before that I couldn't handle that again. I'm glad I stopped fighting and agreed to go out with you. You have made me the happiest woman in the world, and what we both just shared was so intimately beautiful that I'm still having a hard time expressing these feelings I'm having for you. My heart is ready to explode with happiness," she bashfully admitted and blushed. Lark giggled at Rain's reaction.
"Baby, you are so adorable, and I know exactly what you mean. I feel like I'm walking on cloud nine, and you're part of me, and I'm a part of you now. I have never felt as special as I do when I'm with you, Rain."
Lark smiled lovingly and felt a tickle in her tummy from the feeling she was happy.
"I want to always be that way with you, sweets,"
Rain lovingly confirmed her comment with a kiss.
"Me too,"
Lark answered, thoroughly satisfied with the kiss they just shared. "Oh, I do have one more gift for you, and I think you're really going to like this." Rain grinned, amused and excited with the present she had for Lark.
"Another one? I think you've given me plenty, Rain,"
she asked, and said surprised that she would have something else for her. Rain grinned mischievously and sat up, reaching for a jacket that was draped across the chair. She reached into the inside pocket, pulled the next present out. She laughed and jumped back into the bed, knowing Lark was going to be very happy with the present. Lark giggled at Rain's enthusiasm and sat before Rain on the bed, anxiously awaiting to see what Rain had in her hand. "Here." Rain exuberantly smiled and held up the present for Lark to take. She had been carrying both presents with her on the trip for when she was lonely for Lark, and would take them out to make her feel better.
"A key? I'm confused,"
Lark asked as she took the key that had a red ribbon on it and looked at it.
"Is this the key to your heart?"
Lark asked with a giggle. "You don't need a key to my heart, sweets. You already have that. The key is to our new home," Rain explained and mischievously smiled when she saw it register with Lark.
"Oh my God! Rain! You bought the house on the beach!"
she excitedly shouted and smiled uncontrollably. "Yes. I wanted it to be a surprise, so that's why I kept putting you off in regards to making an offer. I hope you don't mind I surprised you with it," she asked with a grimace, hoping Lark wasn't upset with her.
"No, absolutely not,"
Lark answered and laughed.
"I'm so stupid sometimes,"
she replied and chuckled, shaking her head.
"Why do you say that?" Rain asked, confused.
"I thought you were being evasive with the house because you didn't want to move in with me. Boy, was I wrong,"
Lark explained and laughed at her stupidity.
"Nope, that was the farthest thing from my mind. I want to make a wonderful life with you, Lark, and show you how much I love you every day."
Rain lovingly smiled and laughed when Lark threw her arms around her neck, tightly hugging her, as she fell back on the bed with Lark on top of her.
"You are so thoughtful and wonderful. I love all of my presents, but I have to insist on paying for half the house, okay?"
Lark addedly told her as she looked down on Rain.
No problem, because I only put a down payment on the house so we wouldn't lose it. We still have to fill out the paperwork and pay for the rest of it until it's officially ours. Rain explained and smiled.
I can't believe how happy I am, Rain.
Lark lovingly admitted and kissed her. Me too, sweets. Let's stay out that way forever. Rain suggested with an endearing smile and lightly stroked Lark's face with her thumb.
You got it, babe.
Lark answered, smiling, and captured Rain's lips for a kiss. Chapter 13. Rain and Lark's 5th year anniversary was quickly approaching, and they were happily settled into their home after making numerous renovations throughout the years. Lark's interviews, requests, movies, and TV roles had doubled since her last movie was a box office smash. Her sexual preference for women didn't seem to hinder her movies at the box office, or were landing the coveted roles she was quickly moving up the A-list for Hollywood actresses. The pair had welcomed the new nephew, Cole, into their lives, and Lark was asked to be his godmother by Holly and Shane. Rain had been assigned to International Covert Operations, which required her to investigate locations before appearances for the Secretary of State when she was out of the country, and also served on a protection team. Her job required her to be out of the country quite frequently. The security measure of the Secretary of State was always a top-secret operation, and they frequently were heavily armed, and most of the agents were disguised during the assignments, ensuring the safety of the important government official. After being commended for solving the case involving Congressman Morgan, and for the exemplary work performance with their assignment during the presidential inauguration, her and Forrest had been chosen from a select group of agents for the current assignment. They were highly recommended by their supervisor and Congressman Morgan for their hard work and dedication. The pair was elated to finally obtain the jobs they coveted from the day they became Secret Service agents.
Now, Elaine, you have to make sure my schedule is cleared from our anniversary, okay?
Lark asked as she removed the makeup from her face after New Year's she had just finished.
Yes, boss,
Elaine teasingly answered, stuffing a ham sandwich in her mouth.
I'm serious. It's a big anniversary for us, and I want it to be perfect,
Lark told her, worried that her plans would not be followed through as she wanted.
Lark, I know how important they are to you. You've been planning this elaborate surprise party for months now, and you've made sure to tell me, what, every week?
Yeah, that's it.
Every week to make sure your schedule is free at that time.
Elaine sarcastically said and grinned, then ate more of the sandwich.
I'm sorry. It's just that I'm getting nervous because it's going to be here before I know it, and I feel like I won't have everything completed by that time.
Lark whined anxiously, knowing she was aggravating her friend.
Don't fret, my dear. You have plenty of people helping you out with the party, and you have everything ready for the big night. Don't worry,
Elaine reassured with a chuckle.
You're right, but you just never know about trying to keep a secret like this because someone might slip up and make a comment about it. There have been many times I had to bite my tongue around Rain so not to reveal the big party. I'm kicking myself for telling Jace, though. I'm not sure he's very good at keeping secrets, especially if he's been out partying, and he sure has a hard time keeping them from his sister.
Lark told her and rubbed her forehead, stressed out with the party plans, despite the fact the party was still a few weeks away.
I think he'll be all right, and I'm sure Shane spoke with him about the secrecy of it. You need to stop worrying, Lark, because you are getting wrinkles from crinkling your forehead up like that. We can't have your forehead looking like that on big screen.
Elaine teasingly told her to lighten up the mood and ease Lark's nerves.
Did you ever consider being a comedian instead of an agent?
Lark sarcastically asked with a sly grin.
Actually, yes, but I couldn't have gotten through my act because I would have been laughing too much, envisioning everyone naked like my speech teacher taught us to do.
She jokingly quipped and both women laughed.
I should remember that for when I have to present an award in front of tons of people,
Lark added with a chuckle.
When will Ray be home?
Elaine asked and took a sip of water, looking at Lark.
Who knows?
Lark answered and shrugged her shoulders, looking away from Elaine. Elaine was taken back by her comment and wondered why she was acting so smug about it. Elaine furrowed her brow and was curious as to what else was going on in Lark's mind as she sat silently staring off at the distance. She had a feeling something else was happening between her and Rain, considering the comment she made and the way Lark was so nervous about the party. She decided to fish the information out of her.
Is something else going on that you're not telling me about?
Elaine queried.
What do you mean?
Lark evasively asked and turned to Elaine, then looked back at the mirror removing the remaining makeup, unable to maintain eye contact with her.
I knew it. Something else has gone on between you. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I'm just nervous about the party, that's all.
She deceptively replied, and looked down into her purse as if she were looking for something to change the subject.
Bullshit! Now give it up! Tell me what's going on, Lark!
Elaine thwarted her attempt of casting aside the conversation, and moved closer to Lark, touching her arm to get her attention. Lark looked up at Elaine and slightly grinned.
You know me too well.
Yes, I do. Now tell me what's going wrong.
Elaine warmingly smiled and gently demanded.
I'm worried that something is wrong, and that Rain may be growing tired of us.
Lark answered and looked away.
Oh, don't start that again, Lark. Remember what happened just before your first anniversary? You thought the same thing, and she gave you that ring. The one that is supposed to remind you of her love for you. Have you forgotten all about that?
Elaine reminded and pointed at the ring on Lark's finger. Lark looked down at the ring and smiled when the diamond sparkled in the light, remembering the beautiful first anniversary. She remembered everything that Rain told her that night and felt a catch in her heart from her admissions.
No, I haven't forgotten about that evening and her promises.
Lark softly answered and glanced at Elaine.
Well, why the hell are you wearing so now?
Elaine asked, confused by her friend's manner.
We have been talking about getting married and having kids for quite a while now, but I get the feeling that those things are no longer important to Rain. She seems to really enjoy being out of the country a great deal for work, and maybe she doesn't want our relationship to move in that direction. She isn't very accommodating when it comes to work, and she acts as if it's the most important thing in her life.
Lark explained with a sad look on her face.
Have you spoke to her about it?
Yes, and she has kind of blown it off, saying we'll get married and we'll have kids when both of our lives aren't so hectic. I can easily make my life less chaotic if she would just say so, but she hasn't, and I get the feeling she wants us to stay status quo. If she wanted something to change, she would have asked to be transferred to a different assignment so we could be together more often. It's as if I'm supposed to jump and rush off to be with her, but she doesn't make the same concession for me. Maybe she's got a thing for that female agent that has been on her team for the past few months, and that's why she's so reluctant to leave work for me.
Lark insinuated with a touch of resentment and jealousy in her voice.
You know, you always jump to the wrong conclusion about things, Lark. I think you need to discuss the marriage and children thing more. You need to let her know about your feelings and that you want these things in your life and you're willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish them. Express your feelings to her about the job and that you would like her to be home more. I wouldn't even think twice about her being with someone else because she is completely enamored with you and you can see that by the way she looks at you. That would be farthest thing from Rain's mind. Listen, don't sit around fretting about something that you aren't sure of, especially if you haven't expressed your feelings to her on the matter. She probably doesn't know that you're upset about her being gone from work so much.
Elaine calmly explained and rubbed Lark's arm for comfort.
You're right, but she should recognize there's a problem, and I'm fed up with everything, Elaine. If she doesn't want to compromise with her work schedule, which I really feel she won't, then maybe I shouldn't either. I know that I've turned down many job offers to be with her, but I don't see her doing it for me.
Lark told her, adamant about her decision.
I understand what you're telling me, Lark, but you should still speak with her about your concerns, or otherwise you'll keep them bottled up and end up resenting her.
Elaine gently advised to not upset her.
I think I'm at that point already, Elaine, but I'll talk with her and see what comes about this time. Hopefully she'll be more receptive to my feelings. What would I do without you?
Lark asked, smiling gratefully at her friend, and had a sinking feeling that Rain wasn't going to accommodate to her.
You would be really lost, but you're going to have to manage to get by with me for a little while.
Elaine answered and grimaced, knowing Lark wasn't going to like her news.
What do you mean, get along without you for a little while? Did I forget you were going on vacation or something?
Lark asked, confused.
No, I got a call from the company and they've asked me to come to L.A. I leave in a little while and I'll be out there for a few days.
Elaine explained, knowing Lark relied on her a great deal with appearances and as a friend.
Oh no, I'm going to miss you.
I hope it's good news that they're going to give you, though.
She asked, sad that Elaine would be gone.
Yeah, Let's hope I'm not getting fired, Elaine answered with a chuckle.
Well, you'll always have a job with me if that ever happens, Lark told her and smiled.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Elaine grinned happily. Speaking of jobs, don't forget that you have to be in London in 3 days for the promotional tour of your new movie. I've left the packet with your tickets, your credentials, and instructions on the kitchen table. As soon as you finish everything in L.A., I'll head out to see you there, okay?
It's a good thing you remind me that I have to leave, because I'd forget.
Lark grimaced and nervously chuckled at forgetting about the promotional tour. Oh, dear God. We both would have been in deep shit if you missed that tour. The producers in the studio would have had our heads on a platter for that fucker. Elaine explained with horror at the thought. If this tour is as successful as I know it will be with you, wowing the fans and the media at the premieres, along with that all-star cast, you have a great chance of getting an award. You will definitely hit the A-list. Elaine encouraging told her and smiled proud that Lark's career was taking off.
Oh, that would be an added bonus, but you know I do this because I love to act.
Lark humbly answered, not as enthused and in awe of making the Hollywood A-list, of receiving the awards, or the whole celebrity gets that company's fame.
Shush! Don't say that so loud!
Elaine chuckled and held a finger to her mouth.
I've got to run, hun.
Remember, don't give any quotes that could get you in trouble by the press. Be very evasive if they ask any controversial questions.
She reminded her and shook a finger to emphasize a point.
I know, I know.
Lark chuckled.
Call me if you talk with Rain about the situation, okay? I'll give you a reminder call on Thursday so you won't forget to get on the plane.
Elaine smirked and laughed.
I will, and I'm sure you're right, that I'm overreacting to something I shouldn't. But I'm a woman and I can't help it. It's my nature to be that way.
Lark answered with a laugh, as did Elaine.
Oh, maybe that's my sweetheart calling me.
Lark giggled when she heard the phone ring and raised it to her ear.
Hello?
She cheerfully greeted.
Hey, Lark. Shane Solomon greeted.
Is everything okay?
She asked, noting the somber tone in his voice.
No. I need to get in touch with Rain and can't reach her with the numbers I have.
He explained evasively.
What's going on? Is it the boys? Holly? Your parents or Jace?
She wearily asked and sat up in her chair. Elaine's smile turned to worry when she saw the pensive look on Lark's face.
No, they're all fine. It's Graham. She's taken a turn for the worse, and I need to find Rain.
Oh my God! I just saw her the other day before surgery, and your mom said everything would be all right.
She anxiously told him, and put her hand to her chest, trying to calm a racing heart. She knew Rain would be devastated by the news about her beloved grandmother.
I know. The doctor said she would be fine with the heart surgery, but she's gotten worse,
he explained sadly.
Okay, she's a strong lady. I'm sure she's going to pull through this. I'll give Rain a call on my way to the hospital,
Lark told him with a hurried tone, standing up and grabbing her purse.
I sure hope so. Thanks for contacting Rain, and tell her to give my mom a call.
He answered, somewhat grateful that Lark would call his sister instead of him, knowing that she would be very upset with the news.
Okay, I'm leaving now,
she answered with an urgent tone in her voice and exited the studio.
I'll see you soon, then, he softly answered.
Hang in there, honey. She's going to be fine, no matter how bad it seems. I'm sure of it,
Lark encouragingly told him.
Thanks. Bye.
He answered and clicked off the phone.
I've got to run, Lark told Elaine, swiftly walked towards her car.
What's going on?
Elaine asked nervously, as she hurried up to catch up with Lark.
Rain's grandmother had her heart surgery, and she's taken turn for the worse,
Lark explained in a rush.
I hope she's going to be okay, and I wish I could go with you, but I have to catch my flight. Call me later and let me know what's going on. Tell the family I'll be thinking of them,
she called out as Lark headed for the limo and opened the door.
Thanks. Bye.
She shouted before climbing inside and slamming the door, startling the driver, who didn't see her rush out of the building.
I need to get to the Memorial Hospital right away,
she ordered, settling into the seat, and wondered how she was going to tell Rain that her grandmother was gravely ill. To be continued. Well, that concludes this episode, number 22 of the Providence series by Debbie Bathurst, a.k.a. Cruz. I know that that's a hard place to leave it because you're
now wondering what's going on with Rain and her grandmother and Lark. But as you can see, it's getting longer, and I want to make sure that it gets out to you for this week. If you have any suggestions on music or ideas of a video or even a book, someone recently suggested a book to me, then go ahead and drop me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. Or if you just want to say hi to me and tell me if you're enjoying the podcast or any ideas for help on the podcast, I'd appreciate them. So once again, drop an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye. I'm too